Right? 40 days through Revelation, uncovering the mystery of the end times. God bless you and be a blessing. My friend Ron, thank you so much for your labors on behalf of the kingdom of God. And friends, if you're not ready, if you're not ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ, who is coming only for a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, you need to cry out to him now. He that cries out to him in faith, he will in no wise turn away. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king, but in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be your views, because it's Open Line Wednesday, and we want your calls. We'll talk about whatever you'd like to, but I thought maybe we'd open up with talking about what happened over in Egypt and the fact that the military has stepped in and seized control of the government, and there will be suspension of the law temporarily until there are new democratic elections. And I'd like to know what you out there in the audience think about this. Do you think that the military should have stepped in? Certainly, Morsi was democratically elected. Shouldn't he have had a chance to carry out his program, even if the people didn't want him? They elected him. And so basically, I mean, don't the people have the right to select their rulers? And well, then if the majority of the people don't want him, can the people just demonstrate and get rid of him? Isn't there some other way? Is this a democratic thing to do for the military to step in? Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I'd like to know what you think about what's happened over in Egypt. And certainly as we look at this, we see tremendous demonstrations over there. I mean, millions of people out in the streets, apparently there are an awful lot of people there who are very, very happy that this has happened. Certainly the people who are Islamists are certainly dedicated to this whole Muslim Brotherhood philosophy of a strict Muslim society under Sharia law are very unhappy. All we do, though, is we see the massive demonstrations by the people who do not want an Islamic State. And I think you have to understand that, of course, in an Islamic State, there is no democracy. Everything is certainly decided by the clerics, and you simply go along with it. If you don't, they cut off your hands or your feet or your head, or they torture you to death. And that's just the way that it is, because the clerics speak for God. And is this right, though? But isn't this a better, more stable society? Do the Egyptian people really have the right to demonstrate and demand that certainly a democratically elected president be overthrown? Does the military have the right to step in and try to establish the stability, stop the demonstrations, and then hold new elections? What do you think about what happened over in Egypt? And I'd like your calls. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I mean, is this a democratic way to run a country? After all, isn't Egypt a democracy? Don't they have a constitution that calls for democratic votes? Is there any question that Morsi was democratically elected, that he got probably more than anybody else. He may not have had a majority, but he got more than the other people there. And well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And this brings us into a whole discussion of what about a democracy? Is a democracy a good form of government? Certainly, doesn't this allow representation of the people? And don't the people have a right to pick their elected rulers? And certainly, what is really wrong if the people over there want to have a Muslim Brotherhood type of government? Should they have the right to have that? Or should they have the right to force it on others? If the majority want that, of course, it will mean that they'll kill off most of the Christians. But after all, if the majority want to, don't they have the right to do that? Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Give us a call. We'd like to know what you think. Give us a call right here at Radio Liberty, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine vitamin and plant-derived mineral complex, one bottle of bone and joint-enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus essential fatty acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double-enameled number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House No. 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got John calling from Central New York, up around, probably listening to our Attica or Utica station there in northern New York. Anyway, Chris, he was just saying that he thinks that they're suddenly manipulating the weather, and I do too. We know they can manipulate the weather. We just don't know how much of it they're doing because it's all secret, and we can't let the American people know that they have the ability to manipulate the weather, and they can do it certainly with spraying. They they can certainly spray specific things to precipitate the rain. They have the HAARP situation where they're able to move weather patterns. They have all sorts of ability to do these things. But they're all top secret. We can't let the American people know in the name of national defense. Well, anyway, apparently, John, they've washed out the culvert there a couple of times. And that's pretty expensive, getting that filled in. Do you have to pay for it, John?
No, actually, the township came in and did pretty good for backfilling and whatnot and making it so it's passable. I mean, it's not finished 100% yet, but we had to redo our cellar. It flooded 5 inches at the finished cellar, and then we no more got it done, and the very next day it flooded again. And so I've ended up spending money on pumps and whatnot. But what's interesting is in our area, we have the Utica, Mohawk, the Herkimer, Oneida area was flooded extremely hard also. And I'm talking like 6 inches of rain in an hour or two. And they're all flooded right now, and they're sending the Army Corps of Engineers in with dozers and excavators, and they've perimetered an area that they consider off limits to everybody, and they have 200 police officers enforcing that. So you have an area that all of a sudden we have like Katrina where you can't come or go, you're dictated to, and they're given reasons of safety. But say you need to go back to your house, even though you go back to the rowboat or something, you could get some clothes or something out of the second floor. You could check on things. You could get your valuables out of there. And don't get me wrong. Some people want to take advantage of that and are probably trying to theft a robbery or something. But that's why we have the police department. But it's not just to alienate us that we can't go see and maybe try to help our own homes or whatever. But we're seeing the dictatorship of control take over in these created fronts of fire or fronts of weather, of flooding or whatever, and it's being manipulated strongly, and more and more and more. We're seeing more and steps taken in that place.
Well, John, do you think that the average individual understands that this is all being created, that they have the ability to manipulate the weather, they have the ability to create the situation for the fires, and that they're simply using them to expand control over our lives? I mean, the average individual is not going to believe that, even though I believe it's true. Go ahead.
Well, it was interesting. I'm talking with Dr. Asa. He's on public radio.
Right.
And anyhow, he made a comment that he said more people in New York State are more aware of these issues than anywhere else in the state to call him.
Okay, well, I think that a lot of people in New York understood that the Twin Towers were brought down. Basically, over 50% of the people in New York realized that when those Twin Towers came down, that was a government operation that had nothing to do with the terrorists. And all they needed to do was see that that was actually controlled demolition. Watch Building 7 come down. It's very obvious. The center of the roof goes in first, and then the base of the building goes. You destroy the central columns. So the walls will fall inward, and then, of course, the set of the roof drops, and then you take out the base of the building. I think the people in New York probably are very informed. Well, is there anything you'd like to say or any points you'd like to make before we let you go? Because we've got a full board.
Just that when President Kennedy made his speech about the...
About the secret societies that run our country?
Controlling us. Boy, it's coming more and more true all the time. Funny, I appreciate it. Thank you for your show.
God bless you, John. And basically, I hope people go up on the internet, they go to the search engine and just type in John Kennedy, secret societies. And when you're the president of the United States, you're not supposed to talk about the secret societies that run America. And John Fitzgerald Kennedy paid a high price for that. God bless. Thanks very much. And I just hope that the weather gets better back there, but help us to get the information out. Yes, they do have the ability to control the weather. We've got excellent 4 tape sets or 4 CD sets and a talk on geoengineering. Yes, they really can control the weather. God bless. Thanks very much. Let's go to Mike calling from Flint, Michigan. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. It's open lines. Mike, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I'm sitting here with my friend Eric over here by the house. I live out here in Flint, Michigan. He says, yo, you don't believe that they can control the weather, but maybe you could explain that a little bit. But I really wanted, for myself, 2 or 3 more books that I could read real quick, so you can give me a couple two, three titles or something, Dr. Stan?
Well, basically, we have an excellent DVD put together by our friend Bob Fletcher on weather modification. We carry a book, actually, that was it's called up on HARP, and then another one on weather control. And they were certainly a book put together by a gentleman, and Jerry, his last name escapes me, but basically you can get them by calling us. And he just goes into how the HARP system is used and how certainly by focusing energy into the stratosphere, they're able to redirect the weather patterns. It's all top secret. Well, why are they doing these things? Why are they secret? Because they don't want the public to know. But of course, basically, they can change the weather. We have an excellent DVD. It's called Geoengineering. We have a 4-CD set on geoengineering, and they really can change the atmosphere. Now, they do this with spraying, and basically, they're putting aluminum into the atmosphere. Your friend there probably doesn't believe that there is aluminum in the jet fuel. And, of course, they never used to be, but there is now. How can your friend determine that? You go up on the Internet and you go to your search engine, you type in jet fuel, aluminum. You'll find out that they have that aluminum that they add for combustion, and that aluminum gets into the atmosphere. Now, the other thing is, of course, they have other forms of aluminum that they spray from the special planes that belong to, I believe it's Evergreen Airline. That's a CIA front. And then, of course, they have other planes that they use for spraying. They use the satellites. When the satellites go up, they put up sprays. And all of this is designed to control global warming. That's the theory behind it. But the information is there. You're never going to read it in the newspapers because the newspapers are controlled. But I would suggest, certainly, DVD on geoengineering, the 4-CD set on geoengineering. And we actually carry, certainly, these two books I mentioned. So basically, and I believe it's Jerry Smith, Jerry Smith, I believe, is the author. I wouldn't swear to that. But anyway, they're all available at our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Does that answer your question at all, Mike?
Yeah, Dr. Stan, thank you for being there. Take it easy, Dr. Stan.
But I think the most important thing is to understand so this whole idea of HAARP, H-A-A-R-P, a secret government program. And they tell us they spent all these billions of dollars. But it's simply an experiment, but they won't tell you what they're experimenting with. And we do have the book on HAARP. They actually can alter the weather with HAARP. They can alter the weather with spraying. But you can go up on the Internet and simply type in, weather modification purchase changes. And you'll find their companies up there. They can actually precipitate suddenly storms or rain, and basically you have to pay them. But if you suddenly need a rain or snow, they can make it for you. Yes, I tell your friend they really can alter the weather, okay?
Yeah, he could hear you the whole time, Dr. Stan.
Okay, fine. Okay, well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you're out there across America. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. It's Open Line Wednesday, and we'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. Okay, well, we lost Mike. We have another caller, and several callers have called in. And so let's go to John right now. And once again, well, this is John calling from Spokane, Washington. Hi, John. How are we doing?
Good. I'm glad to talk to you again. I wanted to add a little something for the listeners. What I figured out on my own over the numerous years that I've been studying government control is communist socialism is political atheism, collective corporatism is economic atheism, secular humanism is cultural atheism. Atheism has three aspects or different parts. And that's what I wanted to share. Another thought that I wanted to share with you and listeners.
Well, John, I certainly agree with you. But basically, there is a revolt against God. This is what it's really all about. There are two forces in the world. There's either God or the people who disbelieve in God, and many of them actually are actually involved in satanic effort. And there's an organized effort to discredit God and replace the belief in God with belief in this other spiritual force. Some people understand what it is. They understand it's Satan or Luciferianism. Others simply believe it's a force. They give it another name without understanding the total evil that it represents. But we really are involved in a spiritual battle today. These are not imaginary forces. I've seen God do the most amazing things, but I know that Satan can do amazing things as well. Go right ahead. And once again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we have John calling from Spokane. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. Global government condemns and criminalizes, destroys and eliminates the independent initiative of self-sufficiency, forcing workers slaves to toil for the benefit of mafia gangsters who own and control everything in the name of corporate collectivism through monopoly manipulation while brainwashing people into believing they perform public services.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. Hang on, we'll be back in a moment. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and give back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do what you sound. Being free of diseases, real well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. It's Open Line Wednesday, so we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Here in the Central Coast of California, it's Open Lines. We'd like to know what you think about what happened over in Egypt and suddenly the government moving in, the military moving in, and simply putting down the spontaneous demonstrations of literally millions of people who wanted to overthrow the democratically elected government of Mr. Morsi. Now, the one thing that you will never see mentioned in the American medium is something, fortunately, you can check it out on the internet and prove me either right or wrong, but Morsi was suddenly educated right here in the United States. He was educated, I believe, in Southern California, University of Southern California. Basically, he was American educated and basically must understand that so many of the people who are bringing dictatorship to the world were educated right here and indoctrinated in these concepts that are to bring about the one world government. And basically, of course, the whole theory we hear talk about democracy, democracy, democracy. Well, you go back and you read Plato, what he wrote in The Republic, and basically he says democracy just doesn't work, and it democracy doesn't work. Now, you'll often hear these statements, quoting certainly Winston Churchill, democracy is the worst form of government except for all the others. Democracy is the worst form of government except for all the others. Democracy isn't perfect, but certainly it's the best we have. And that simply is not true, because Winston Churchill was part of this little cabal that wants a one-world authoritarian structure under a group of elitists such as himself. He was certainly part and parcel of the Brotherhood of Darkness and a very key figure. He worked very closely, of course, with the people who financed Adolf Hitler. He worked very closely with the Nazis. Certainly the United States and England put Adolf Hitler and the Nazis in power and financed them both before and during the Second World War and provided so much of the military supplies for them. It was American corporations, General Motors, General Electric, Ford, AT&T, IBM, Exxon. They were all over there, 100 American corporations and 10 American banks, including one headed by a man named Prescott Bush. That was Brown Brothers Harriman Bank. And they were actually building the weapons for Adolf Hitler and the Nazis to be used to kill our boys. People find this hard to believe. That's why you need to read John Loftus's America's Nazi Secret or get our 4-CD set, The War Against the Jews. America's Nazi Secret and the 4-CD set, The War Against the Jews. Of course, basically what you do need is, of course, get Dr. Cuddy's book, wonderful book, The Power Elite and the Secret Nazi Plan, because the plan is still going on today. Well, my telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, but you must understand that America is not a democracy. Our founding fathers had read Plato, and they did not believe that democracy was the worst form of government except all the others. They knew it was a terrible form of government, and that's why they created a republic in America. And certainly, you can certainly read our Constitution. You'll never see the word democracy. You can read the Federalist Papers. You'll never see the word democracy used other than to defame it. You can read the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights. No place will you see the use of the word democracy. You can actually go to all the state constitutions, all 50 of them, and look for the word democracy, and none of them are democracies. They're all republics. A nation's under law where the people's vote cannot be used to enslave themselves. The reason, of course, they want a democracy here is so that we can actually bring in all sorts of people, and they'll simply vote for the people who promises to give them the most. and eventually the whole thing goes bankrupt and we have a dictatorship. America's republic worked very well where the power of government was limited so men could be free. And you say, well, what about the people starving to death? Nobody starved to death in America. They were simply at the state, at the local level, or the church level. People always could get a meal. There was always a place, you know, shelters for people. That was before the government stepped in and was going to provide for us. You must understand that America worked and worked very well. And without being a democracy or a republic, where the power was to be diffused and taken care of, things were to be taken care of, life, liberty, and property taken care of at the local level. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295. And we'd love to hear from you. Love to get your ideas. Most Americans don't know the difference between a republic and a democracy. A republic is ruled by law. Certainly, a democracy is ruled by the masses. And whatever the majority wants, they can do it. And it always ends up in tyranny. It always has. Every democracy has ended up in a tyranny. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. It's Open Line Wednesday. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-2295. And we've got Bruce calling from Michigan, Durand, Michigan. Hi, Bruce. You want to talk about Mr. Morsi? What do you think about it? Do you think the military should have deposed him?
Who knows? Who knows? There's so much hanky-panky going on since probably Clinton in regards to elections. I don't know who's elected where legitimately anymore at all. I don't know if you do. I mean, local, global, national. What elections are legitimate anymore? How can you tell?
Very few of them, I will tell you, because basically they can rig the electronic voting machines. And basically, of course, in a place like Egypt, we don't know whether they count the votes honestly or not. But simply, our founding fathers 250 years ago realized, of course, that elections can get you into all sorts of trouble. That's why they wanted a central authority with very limited power. And having matters dealing with life, liberty, and property, and individual freedom to be taken care of at the state, and predominantly at the local level. At least you may have more influence there, and you can count the votes. You surely can't count them at the national level. So I share your concern, Bruce. I share your concern.
I know Iraqi Christians, Egyptian Christians, and Lebanese Christians. And they have the biggest, with Syria, have the biggest amount of Christians in the Middle East. I don't know any Syrian Christians. But the other Christians, they all dislike the Muslim Brotherhood and distrust them. So if it's good for the Christians in Egypt to get rid of the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, good for them. Same with Syria and Lebanon.
I think you're absolutely right. Basically, about 10% of the population of Egypt has been Christian. And certainly since the Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood came to power, the Christians have been under increasing pressure. A lot of them have been trying to flee. But where do you flee to? All the other countries are being taken over by the Muslim Brotherhood with the full help and support of the Obama administration. A lot of them, of course, have tried to flee to Syria. And, of course, the tragedy that's unfolded there. So they can't come to the United States. We won't let them in. Why? Because they're Christians under persecution. If you're a Muslim under persecution, they'll welcome you with open arms. If you're a Christian, they'll do everything they can to make sure you stay in the country and you'll be killed, just like we did everything we could during World War II to prevent the Jews from leaving Germany so they would be kept behind to be slaughtered. And they're doing the same thing in the Middle East with the Christians. We need to do everything we can for our Christian brethren over there. But we need to try to get the American people to understand that the policies of America are anti-Christian. And when you understand that, everything begins to make sense.
Yep. You know, I watched Al Jazeera for the full hour tonight. I normally just watch a few minutes of it, but they're really down. They're all pro-Muslim Brotherhood, and all their commentators and their experts and stuff are really sad about what happened. And I said, well, you know, much to those guys. Al Jazeera, what are they doing on in this country anyway? You know, some Al Gore-supported thing, trying to change our minds about what's happening in the Middle East.
But you have to understand, Bruce, that this whole thing is funded by our intelligence agencies. We fund this whole radical Islamic movement. And until people understand that, so much of what's going on doesn't make sense. So we do this in concert with the Saudi Arabians and other people over there in Qatar. But suddenly the CIA and the other intelligence agencies are actually involved financing this whole radical Islamic movement.
Well, as I understand it, the Al Jazeera comes right from Qatar. It's like they're part of their foreign policy, you know, to try to look more westernized and liberal and all that.
But who controls Qatar?
Yeah.
The fact is we do. Okay, go right ahead.
Well, just one other question. It's more subtle. Do you think American foreign policy being pro-Muslim Brotherhood is on hold now because of what Mr. Brzezinski has said, and the man who runs, what is his name?
You're talking about Haas, Roger Haas?
Yeah, Haas and others. They're just saying, well, back off on that Arab Spring for a while. We can't afford it. Plus, Hillary is gone with her helper there. Wasn't she part of the Muslim Sisterhood?
Right.
Yeah, so maybe they're just saying that enough to it. You know, let's focus on other things for a while and let the Muslim Brotherhood stew for a while. We don't care. So maybe they're letting the policy drift.
Well, I think they have a plan. I don't know what it is. They don't consult me, but I think that if anybody who hasn't read that article, and you find it in Time magazine on the 10th of May, and it's written by Roger Haas, who's the president of the Council on Foreign Relations and certainly a member of the Trilateral Commission. The article is well worthwhile reading and rereading. If you can't find it, you can give us a call and we can get it for you. But you can get the Time magazine, certainly, I believe it's the 10th of May. Fascinating, as Roger Haas basically says, we can't afford these things anymore, just as Bruce has said. And we can't, ladies and gentlemen. We're running massive deficits. Our deficit is not simply $17 trillion or almost $17 trillion. It's well over $86 trillion if you use the general accepted accounting techniques that every corporation must use except for the American corporation. And the government refuses to actually give us an accurate appraisal, but there's no way we'll ever be able to pay off the massive debts we've accrued. Anything else, Bruce?
No, I just hope they don't have civil war, but I don't think anybody will really care one way or the other if they do over there. You know,
well, basically, we should. I mean, these are good people. The Egyptians are good people. Let's just hope and pray that the military can keep law and order and can get an honest election. And I think if you have an honest election, well, the Muslim Brotherhood will be voted down decisively. I really believe that. I think most Muslims do not want this radical form of Islam. This is my opinion. We'll wait and see. Fascinating times. May be a cover for something else. We're going to have to wait and see.
Okay, thanks a lot.
God bless. Okay, fine. Well, again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. It's open lines. We'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. And right now, we have Dave calling from Central New York. Hi, Dave. Question or comment?
Yes, Dr. Stan. I hear some things, but I know you're more up on things about different countries, the U.S. and Russia, developing different space-based weapons for possible invasion and things like that from outer space. What have you thought or learned about that lately?
Well, I haven't learned any too much about it. I mean, they've got all sorts of fascinating weapons, which I really don't understand. But basically, you have to understand that they want to give us the idea that there's a conflict between Russia and the United States. The average individual doesn't understand. We finance communism in Russia since its inception. We continue financing it today. Supposedly, when Russia then broke up about 1990, 1991, and communism ended, and we kept calling Russia a communist country. Of course, the man who took control at that time just happened to be the former head of the KGB, but that's all right. That's Putin. But basically, of course, certainly, they're all in this together. They're all intent, violently anti-Christian, all dedicated to this idea of a one-world government. And basically, they're developing weapons. We're developing weapons. I think we have terrible, terrible weapons that certainly would be able to kill literally hundreds of millions of people. And I really tremble for my country and my people when I reflect that I believe we're going to have another terrible, terrible war. I don't know when it's coming. But all we need to do is certainly read the Holy Scriptures, and they foretell these terrible wars, not one, but three wars, the war of Psalm 83, the war of Ezekiel 38 and 39, and then that last terrible battle, the Battle of Armageddon, and just hope and pray that you and I are not here at that time. Anything else, Dave?
Dr. Stan, I was thinking about they're even trying to develop things that may come from outer space, not necessarily from another country. And I was wanted to read a scripture from Revelation 19:19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army about the return of Christ. And I got thinking, even though they're doing this for country against country, Satan could possibly, without people knowing it, developing these weapons for when Christ returns, like it says in the scripture there, but yet they won't be effective against the Lord. But some of these things, Satan could be using men to develop these things for to fulfill the scriptures, because what weapons are the kings of the earth and the armies going to use against the Lord in this verse, chapter 19, verse 19?
Well, there's no weapon that they can use against the Lord, but certainly they can use them against his people, which is you and I, at least hopefully we're his people. And I really, with all my heart and soul, believe in the scriptures. And I think we cannot interpret any of the things going on today unless, of course, we look at them not only from a geopolitical point of view, but from a scriptural point of view. And I share your concern. I think there's some terrible weapons that are being developed. And we're talking about not killing a few thousand people. We're talking about killing millions of people. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-295. You got a question or comment, but go right ahead, Dave.
The only thing is, I was at this 19th verse that talks to the kings of the earth and their armies gathered to make war against Christ, even though they won't be effective. They must, you know, be able to try to use some weapon, even though they won't be effective. So I was relating that to some of the weapons that they have today. They're going to try in vain to use against Christ when he does return. Because what other weapons would the armies use, as it says in chapter 19, verse 19? You follow my thought there?
Yes, you're absolutely right. But, of course, there are no weapon that you can use to defeat.
Right.
Because this is a supernatural battle. And basically, there are demonic forces out there. And then there are spiritual forces of our Lord. And basically, then, of course, we have the contemporary forces, the forces created by man. Certainly, the good men on one side, the men on the other. We just want to make sure that we're on the right side in this coming battle, and that's all we can do. And basically, I can see the time coming when there are going to be great armies massed, and they're going to be initially massed against Israel. And basically, the people over in Israel are very concerned, as they should be. And there's no way that little Israel can possibly survive a major attack, a missile attack from the surrounding countries. And basically, we're talking about somewhere between 1 and 200,000 missiles between Hamas and between Hezbollah and the other countries over there. They would be able to launch somewhere between 1 and 200,000 missiles against Israel. There's no way they can survive without divine intervention. But I believe God can do strange and amazing and wonderful things. And basically, I think that we will see his hand there to defend Israel. He will withdraw his hand when the time has come, but it's not come at the present time. And I think God is going to maintain Israel for the time being. I'm not sure that the people over there in Israel really understand the power of the God, but I don't think they ever would have won the 48 war, the 57 war, the 67 war, the 73 war without God's intervention. I really don't.
The last question, Dr. Stan. In your extensive reading and things, maybe your library, do you have any favorite books on the second coming of Christ and by who, or on Revelation?
Well, I really don't, but we have a lot of books. My wife is better of an expert on that than I am. But of course, we have all sorts of books on it. But which one I would want to pretty refer you to the most, certainly, I haven't even thought of it. I will tell you what, I will try to think of it and try to actually come up with it. But there's so many excellent books out there that are written by the people that we have on our programs. And so many of the people that are going to be at this wonderful conference I'm going to here at the end of this month back in Colorado Springs. And I've never seen such an array of conservative Christian speakers. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing there, but we're going to have Doug Woodward and Russ Dizdar, and you're going to have Chuck Missler that's going to be there, Joseph Fair of WorldNet Daily. Just a line of certainly of the major speakers. Lynn Marzulli is going to be there. I can hardly wait to get back there and meet all of these people in person. I certainly know Lynn Marzulli, but the others I've never met personally. And I just feel so privileged to be invited. I'm not quite certain why. Remember, I'm not a theologian. I'm a retired orthopedic surgeon and an amateur historian. But I'm really flattered that I was asked to come and speak, and I'm really looking forward to it. They actually had a room for 1,000 people. They opened up the registration and 1,000 seats were sold within 4 hours. Oh. So they, nobody can get there. But I'm pretty sure that all the tapes and DVDs will be available. And so
what are you going to speak on, Dr. Stan? What are you going to speak on?
Well, I have two talks. One's called The Secret Agenda, and it simply goes into the internationalist movement and basically how it fits together. And then, of course, you have the second one that we're just finishing up at the present time. It's called A Judgment Day, and what happens to a nation that turns against God? Well, of course, I believe God turns against that nation, and our plea is to the American people to understand what's going on and to pray that God doesn't destroy this nation or holds off his judgment. But America has turned against God. We're no longer a Christian nation. And basically, we'll have it available sometime after the end of the month. I finished it now, and it's just a matter of getting it all put together.
Oh, thank you very much, Dr. Stan. Thank you.
Okay, fine. God bless. Okay, Barbara's calling in. Barbara called in. If you're out there, you have a question or comment, give us a call. Certainly at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Anyway, Chris, if you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. Otherwise, Chris, we'll be wrapping up the program here very, very shortly.
Far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America. Beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountain, through the prairie, through the ocean, white with gold. God bless America, my home.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health. Truly do all to
there is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken it upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called prostate support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes prostate support and recommends it. And thousands of men take prostate support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try prostate support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for prostate support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and tomorrow is Independence Day, and we're going to take the day off after that, so we won't be back with you until Monday. But I think basically tomorrow celebrates America and its formation and the signing of the Declaration of Independence, which is the very foundation of this country. And Thomas Jefferson, basically, if you read the Declaration, and you should get it out and read it every Independence Day, understand that he believed in God. He believed that our freedom comes from nature's law and nature's God. He believed, of course, that we were created and endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. He believed, certainly, that we had a divine creator. We had certainly a spiritual creator. He used all of these terms in the Declaration of Independence. And there's no question at all that Thomas Jefferson believed in God. And basically, of course, the whole idea of the decision back in 1962 that could God and prayer out of our schools was supposedly related to a letter that Thomas Jefferson had written to the ministers in Danbury, Connecticut. We talked about a wall of separation between church and state. Thomas Jefferson didn't believe that certainly we would ever take God out of our society or out of our schools, but basically that no one type of Christianity would ever certainly dominate all the others, that people should be free to worship or not worship as they so saw fit. But he realized, of course, how important God was. And if you go to the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C., it is the most beautiful of all the monuments there. And behind, certainly, where the statue of Thomas Jefferson stands, is certainly this inscription chiseled into the stone. God, who gave us life, gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed the conviction that these liberties are a gift of God? I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever. Well, I think that those words were written certainly in the early 1800s, and they're even more apropos today. If we don't get back to God in this country, if we don't point out the fact that the Supreme Court was taken over by subversive elements in 1962, that the Masons controlled the United States Supreme Court in majorities of 5-4 to 6-3 from 1941 to 1969, and nobody will tell you that, any more than they will tell you that the secret societies control the people in Washington, D.C., our Supreme Court justices. They tap all their telephone calls, as they did with the director of the CIA, and you don't think they have information on any one of those Supreme Court justices, and they can tell them how to vote. If you don't believe that, you're incredibly naive. It's time we took America back. We know what the Declaration says. We know what the Constitution says. We know what the Bill of Rights says. And you have to help us teach people about this and can let people understand we are not a democracy. We were never a democracy. And anybody who says we're a democracy is simply a liar. Maybe at the local level, your city council, you may be a democracy, but at the national level, we are a republic and be proud of it. Understand and be able to argue these points and then help us educate others. If you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family, quite frankly, we are having a real shortfall. A lot of our supporters are having real financial problems. And as a result, we're having financial problems. And So if you can give us a hand, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. But I'd love to have you join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or subscribe to our newsletters or get our products. But more than that, if you're in a position to help us, again, our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And we ask you, of course, to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because we're on the front lines of this battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairie to the ocean, white with
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and the next hour, they're going to be the views of Lauren Davis. And I think it's a good way to finish off this week, because this will be the last program we'll do till next Monday. But Lauren Sidney was a minister for 25 years in Africa, in India, and he'll be going back again in October. But he's going to talk to us about certainly his experiences in Africa, about the spiritual battle that's going on there. And basically, of course, here in America, most people certainly know that there's some conflicts within Christianity, but they don't see this real spiritual battle between good and evil suddenly being enacted. In Africa, you see it all the time. The people there, I know we lived in Africa for 3 years, and there, of course, all the natives believed in these demonic forces, and they feared them. Certainly, our maid kept her bed up on 34 paint cans. That was to keep Togolosh out. Togolosh was a little devil, and they didn't have the bed up on paint cans. Why, Togolosh had climb into bed and molest her sexually. And so basically all the black population there knows about the spiritual forces. They're not imaginary. They're very real. They're real in Africa. The spiritual battle is much more obvious than it is here. The battle here is taking place. It's just that most Christians are not allowed to understand the true nature of what's going on today. Lauren, you pick up the story and tell us about your experiences in your long years there in Africa and, of course, your thoughts about what's going on here in America. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be with you tonight. What I want to speak on tonight, to talk about tonight, is the war on the Bible from inside Christianity. Last time I spoke about the war on the Bible through our educational system and also through the government system. It's passed laws that are totally adversarial to the Bible and the teachings against it. But we see even a total breakdown in society in America. And that could not happen. What's happening in education, government could not happen unless Christianity was broken down in this country. And in Africa and also in India, while we were over there, particularly, you know, in the early years, of course, it's going on now, but I began to get very shocked at some of the things that were going on inside Christianity that were totally opposite to what the Bible teaches. And so I began, actually, I wrote a book called The Paganization of Christianity, and it was inspired of our first 10 years in Africa. That was in Tanzania. So I saw really some of the most corrupt people, some of the biggest liars, and some of the most immoral people were actually pastors. And I know that is a very harsh thing to say. My biggest enemies in preaching the Bible, I have found, was from the inside Christianity. You would think it would be from the Muslims, etc., but that was not our biggest adversary. Our biggest adversaries were from other preachers. And so I want to get to the bottom of this. What has happened to Christianity? Why has it broken down? And like I said earlier, the only way our educational system could be so anti-Bible, the only way our government laws could be so anti-Bible, in this supposedly a Christian country, I'm talking of America now, where more than 80% profess Christianity and the belief in the Bible, is there's had to be a breakdown in Christianity.
Hold that thought. Lauren, you go right ahead. I certainly agree with you. I share your concern, but you go ahead and pick up the story.
Thank you, sir. And so, you know, myself, I went to a fundamentalist denominational school. And so it was a college I'm speaking about, which now become a university. And so I really was shocked at the attacks on the veracity of the Bible that I was hearing in that religious school that I was going to. I mean, I had total confidence in it. But literally, it became a war between me and some of the professors as they were teaching things in this Christian college, contradictory to the Bible. I'll get into some more specifics there in a little bit.
Well, you know, I think the hardest thing, Lauren, is for people to really understand that they have infiltrated our religious schools. They've infiltrated our seminaries, just as they've infiltrated all of our major universities. And it's very hard to find a university where you'll really get the truth. But the idea that they would have infiltrated our seminaries, both Catholic and Protestant, is so difficult for the average individual to believe, but it's absolutely true. What better way to destroy Christianity than from within? If you attack it from without, you strengthen it. You destroy it from within, why, of course, you strangle it. Go ahead.
Yes. And just getting straight to the point is that most seminaries, and I don't believe I'm stretching this at all, most seminaries and most Bible schools openly find fault with the Bible, and they criticize it. So, you know, the main purpose of seminary and Bible school is supposed to be to train new ministers to preach the Word of God. But what I found out in my experience, instead of them teaching faith in the Bible in the classes like textual criticism, in the name of scholarship and scholasticism, they would tear down faith in the Bible. All right. So instead of building faith in the Bible, most seminaries and Bible schools have evolved into schools of indoctrination. And their main purpose is to get students to puppet their denomination's doctrines and trick traditions more than just to teach exactly what the Bible's saying. So these schools do this at the expense of discrediting the accuracy of the Bible, particularly when it crosses their denomination's doctrine.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here with Lauren Davis. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Lauren is simply saying that in these seminaries all across America, why, basically, there's an organized effort to undermine the validity of the scriptures, or maybe each various sects of Christianity will have specific things, but they will certainly use that to undermine the basic tenets of the scriptures, and as a result, many of our ministers come out of these seminaries confused and no longer able to, preach as if they really believed that the Bible is inerrant. Go right ahead.
Yes. Denominational doctrine, I'm talking about Christian denomination doctrine, and Bible doctrines are many times at odds with each other. Because of this negative attitude towards the Bible, it seems that the purpose of these seminaries and Bible schools is literally to destroy the ministerial students' faith in the Bible and even to question the divinity of Christ and let their denomination be the final authority of truth and not the Bible. So when one receives a doctorate in theology or a doctorate in divinity from most seminaries and Bible schools, instead of having a doctorate of faith, he has earned a doctorate of unbelief. He no longer believes in the Bible. And then, upon his graduation, he is sent out by his denomination and some church to preach as a pastor. So in the name of Jesus, from the pulpit, this graduate student subtly challenges the most fundamental doctrines of the Bible. And because he's a respected authority, who went to Bible school, and he cloaks his unbelief in the Bible with beautiful words, most Christians, the lay people, believe these ministers without question. So most professing Christians are too intellectually lazy to think for themselves. So the issue, what we're talking about here, is truth. Anymore, truth is not that important, even so for so many Christians going to church. What's important is do they have a good program for my family? Is the music good? Do I have good fellowship and social programs there? So people lay aside the issue of truth. In Africa, I've had many young men come up and say, "Would you sponsor me and help me go to seminary in America?" I told them I would not give you one shilling. I would not give you $1 to go to almost any seminary or Bible school in America or in Europe that I know of. Because here's what I tell them, the African. I said, and I'm talking to the pastors too, of those who have been called to preach and they were on fire for God and they were hot and they preached the Bible and full of faith and very productive. When they went away to America to seminary or Bible school or to Britain or one of these other countries, I said, "What happened to them?" And the pastors, lift their hand and said, "Well, they came back and they were cold. They were just speaking theology, not the Bible. They lost their anointing. They were dead. And really, many of them just did not even go back in the ministry. They were agnostics or atheists." You can go to a seminary and come out an agnostic or an atheist. But many Christians perceive that a real Christian is just a nice person who doesn't cause any trouble. So if a pastor or a preacher, apostle, prophet, who calls themselves, if he teaches something that is not lining up with what the Bible says, we've been trained, don't question them because they're people of authority. And they're using the term, it would be unchristian for you to challenge them. It would not be Christ-like, having the Spirit of Christ. It would be stirring up strife to challenge them. So today, they've made it literally a sin to disagree with a preacher because they say, "Well, he is the anointed one." So Christians have become passive concerning what is right and wrong. So truth is no longer worth fighting for most Christians. And so that has not only taken place inside Christianity, but it has also come over in the political realm to where you know, nobody has a backbone to stand up. No one wants to challenge people in authority because, you know, who am I? So today, the attitude among most the laity in the church is see no evil and hear no evil and speak no evil. So nobody says anything. They might mutter a little bit among themselves, but they don't say hardly anything. But most seminaries today, and this sounds really harsh, but I have been there myself, so I know firsthand experience. Most seminaries and Bible schools are nothing more than theological spin rooms. They're havens for agnostic, atheistic, and unbelieving professors. Dr. Stan, I was absolutely shocked. The supposed Bible scholars that fundamental school college I went to, they gave us to study after. These were Bultman, others, and many of these who wrote these expositions regarding the Bible, many of them were agnostics themselves. That is, they didn't know if there was really a God or not, and they were atheists. And yet, these are the scholars, these are the books that I was given in my hand to study. And what they were doing, they were just tearing the Word of God completely down systematically. Well, another thing that I found, and in the college that I went to became accredited. So what happened when they received, my college received its accreditation from the state, then we would have to use the same textbook that a secular university would use. And these are textbooks which opposes everything the Bible teaches. So the school I went to and other Christian schools that want to get accreditation so their students can go and they can go in the professional world as teachers, etc. These Christian schools would rather compromise and use these anti-biblical textbooks and these atheist and agnostic professors in Christian colleges than risk losing their accreditation from the state.
And, you know, I think, Lauren, most people find that difficult to believe, and yet I don't find it difficult to believe, having actually debated some of these people, some of these ministers, and I knew far more about Christianity than they did, or at least I believed it much more. But this is what they do, certainly, at all of our universities. And basically, whether religious or not, they actually put people into the teachers' colleges to actually not inform, but to conceal the truth, not to reveal, but to conceal the truth from students. And even this carries over into medical schools, and so much of what I learned in medical school just wasn't true. But go right ahead.
Yes. And, you know, what really shocked me, astonished me, Dr. Stan, in that Christian college that I went to, you know, they would teach the liberal arts also in the college. But we had one class, it was science. It was doing nothing but teaching evolution. Now, this was not from a Christian perspective. This was straight out evolution, which is contrary to what the Word of God says, that God created the heavens and the earth, but that man came from a monkey and an amoeba and these things like that. So this is in a Christian college. And so there was a mix. There was a mix going on. And so what happened, and I would like to say this, what business do unbelieving professors have in training preachers to go preach the gospel? What business do we have of using books that are supposed to be from scholars who are agnostics and atheists in Christian schools to teach the new ministers? And so the Bible says we are not to sit in the council of the ungodly. And that's exactly what is happening. And you pay a lot of money to go to these schools. So when these ministers come out of seminaries and these Bible schools, the reality is that they're brainwashed. And their faith in the Bible and Christ has been spoiled. But unfortunately, most preachers just parrot what they have learned in their divinity school, and they preach a gospel that is contradictory to the Bible. For example, let me show you. You know, there's such a schism inside Christianity. We all talk about, you know, there's an attack against Christianity, you know, with the Muslims, with the atheists. But let's look at the reality of what's going on inside Christianity. And I'm talking about the war against the Bible inside Christianity. Let me give this illustration. If one goes to a Baptist seminary, he comes out believing Baptist doctrine. If he goes to a Lutheran seminary, he preaches Lutheran doctrine. If he goes to a Catholic seminary, he preaches Catholic doctrine. If he goes to a Pentecostal seminary or Bible school, he preaches Pentecostal doctrine. But the reality is there's a massive schism in the Pentecostal charismatic movement, so there is no doctrinal consistency. People says, you know, just love Jesus, I'm against doctrine. Well, they absolutely know what they're talking about. In 2 John 9, it says, he that has not the doctrine of Christ hath not God. The doctrine is the teachings of Christ. How can you have Jesus and you disagree with his teaching? But that's what's going on today. They're saying, Lord, Lord, but yet they're contradicting. But Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Why are there so many denominations? Well, the reason, you know, no two denominations in seminary or Bible schools teach the same gospel. And God is not the author of confusion. So the confusion is not just in the secularism. It's not just in Islam or an atheistic government. The confusion is what's going on inside Christianity. And I call these anti-Bible schools. Not Bible schools. They're truly anti because they attack the veracity of the Bible so veracely. Revelation 21 says, the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake of fire. And unbelief in God's word is still the main weapon to destroy Christianity today. But the unbelief now is coming from the pulpits themselves. It's coming from the preachers. And, you know, here they come in today talking about, well, you know, the Greek says this, and I know the Bible says this, but in the original Greek and the original Hebrew. Well, I'm not opposed to using some Greek and Hebrew, but what happens is you have, you know, self-proclaimed Greek scholars, mere mortals just like we are. They're getting up, and I've heard this, and one denomination after another has its own Greek and Hebrew scholars. And they say, well, the Bible is wrong. In the original Greek, it should say this. And so I heard a preacher one time from the pulpit said, you know, the Bible was translated wrong here. In the Greek, it should have said this and that. And this fellow, I mean, I don't even know if he got out of high school or not. But everybody is a self-appointed Greek scholar, Hebrew scholar. And let me just make a point. I mean, you know, this is kind of provocative and things, but I guess sometimes I can get that way. But, you know, everybody looking to the Greek, the original Greek. Well, and the reality is that the Greeks followed the Greek mythology. So the gospel, and following Zeus and the goddess Diana and all these, so the gospel came to Greece. It came to Athens and the Word of God, and then they begin to translate in the Word of God. But one of the biggest problems that happened is that they begin to mix the Greek mythology even with the Word of God, even with the teachings of the Bible. And so even today, you see, even with Greek Orthodox Christianity, you know, there's a lot of breakdowns on even the very fundamentals of the Bible. So what is happening today is that you know, they're using so many translations of the Bible. And so nobody even knows, you know, what translation's a good translation. And they say, you know, we can't get a good translation of the Bible. Some say the Bible's infallible, but you can't get a good translation of it. And so preachers say, well, you know, the Word of God is God told me. The Holy Ghost is speaking to me. And many preachers are saying the Bible is full of errors. Dr. Stan, I've heard that from the pulpit numerous times. It's full of errors. Now think about this. if from the pulpit the preacher tells the people that the Bible has errors in it and we can't get a good translation, you know, what's going to happen? I've heard people comment regarding this. They said, well, you know, I'm not educated like the preacher. So he said, I just leave my Bible over on the bedstand, and they quit reading it. They quit reading the Bible. Well, and they quit believing it. And so it's just like the old Catholic Church, where they, even years ago, they wouldn't even let the people have a Bible. They said the laity cannot understand it, only the priest. So by saying the Bible is full of errors, people lose faith in it. And so the greatest enemies of the Bible, destroying faith in the Bible, is coming from pulpits today. You know, someone says, well, which is the real Bible? There are so many translations we have the Bible. So which is the real one? And I saw this one minister one time while he was preaching. I was in the meeting, and he had several translations stacked on top of each other beside his lectern. And then he would take and he would pull out and we'd read one scripture, and he would read this, and he said, now this is wrong here. And he'd find a translation that he agreed with. So he had about 10 translations. So what he was doing, he was using an eclectic means of preaching. He would go script translation to translation until he would find the translation that he agreed with. And so this is nothing but liberalism. This is the liberal gospel, and it is not preaching the Bible. It's really preaching your own gospel in the name of Christ. So there's been a hostile takeover of Christianity in Christian university, and this is at the heart of what's happened to America. Yale, Princeton, and Harvard, all these were divinity schools in their inception. And Dr. Harvard, he started the Harvard University to train young men who wanted to go into the ministry, to go and preach the gospel, to preach the Bible, to preach Jesus Christ. But the Unitarians came into New England. And cunningly, they began slowly to take over Harvard and these Ivy League schools that were supposed to be divinity schools. And so now what we've had, and finally they've taken over the administration, now we see today that Harvard is one of the most anti-Christ, anti-Bible universities in the world today. Oh, it's the university everybody likes to exalt and say, man, I'd love my son, my daughter to go to Harvard. Look at all the prestige for going to the Yale and going to Princeton. But what has happened is these schools are not what they were designed for. It was a hostile takeover of Harvard, of Yale, and of Princeton from the inside. And so the only way that this could happen is that nice, spiritually pacifist Christians didn't have the fortitude to stand up and to fight to retain the spiritual integrity of these universities.
And I think that people really need to understand, Lauren, this was done intentionally, absolutely, and purposely and maliciously. And basically, and then, of course, by destroying the faith of the young people going to biblical college, many of these people went out, became ministers. And, of course, the faith and the message that they put out led to a lot of people having questions about the validity of the scriptures. They knew exactly what they were doing. This is long-term planning. And we started out as a Christian nation 250 years ago. America is not a Christian nation today, and it didn't happen by accident. No. It happened by intent. Go right ahead.
Yes. And we see that denominations have changed. The Congregationalists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, Episcopalians, etc. All of these in their early stages were devoted Bible believers who taught and preached the Word of God. They taught holy living. And I can go on with just unlimited amount of lists, denominations on the list. But today, unbelieving theologians have taken over their seminaries, these denominational seminaries, and their pastors and denominations by and large, no longer believe the very basics and fundamentals of the Bible. So now, these local churches and denominations only preach a social and a political gospel, not a gospel of regeneration. And most of them teach opposite, diametrically opposite of everything that Jesus taught. Yet, they call themselves Christian. Question. If one disagrees with Christ, is he really a Christian? But nearly all denominations have changed. They were birthed in fire. They were birthed in truth. But what I have seen is denomination after denomination. Evil men have actually targeted these denominations to take them over. So godly men and women have sacrificed, and they built these churches, and they've evangelized. And so there are churches all over, communities everywhere. But today, it's not the same gospel that was preached by the originators, by the founders of these churches. It is a liberal, modernist gospel that has nothing to do with salvation. Many people, you know, are against the Apostle Paul. And they say, well, the apostles didn't agree with each other in the gospel. That is just absolutely not true. When one studies each apostle's work in its entirety and compares their writings, he discovers that their teachings are harmonious with each other. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Hold that thought.
While a storm cloud gathers all across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountain to the prairie, through the ocean, white with gold.
Don't be late.
No.
White with gold. God bless America. My home.
Right, Pop?
Right, son.
From the mountain to the prairie.
this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this evening is Lauren Davis, and we're certainly discussing the infiltration of the Christian church by those who are intent upon destroying the message of Christianity. But before we go on, Lauren, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get to your website and get your information, and if they'd like to help you on your return to Africa, how they could contribute? How can people get in touch with you and your ministry?
You can go to our website, laurendavis.com, laurendavis.com. There's a place on there for online giving, also address. If the Lord puts it on your heart to give to our ministry. I've written a book, The Paganization of Christianity, which a lot of the material that I'm talking about is in my book. And you can get it off of laurendavis.com as an ebook, or you can go to amazon.com and get my book, The Paganization of Christianity. Also, you can get the story, the Lauren and Celeste Davis story called Dangerous Africa, of our 20 years in Africa. And that would be very, very inspired reading for you. Now, I would like to say this, that in Romans 3:4, it says, let God be true, but every man a liar. We're talking about the war against the Bible inside Christianity. People say, well, you know, you can interpret the Bible any way you want to. In fact, there's one televangelist who's very popular. He puts out his own Bible. And within the columns of the Bible, after every scripture in red, he gives his own interpretation of that. And, you know, red, that's how, you know, in most Bibles, that's the words of Jesus. But he puts his interpretation in red right within the columns, and people cannot tell it. The Bible says that the Word of God is of no private interpretation. And that is why there's such a schism in Christianity, in such Christianity, that, you know, there is such a thing as absolute truth. Truth is not relative. Jesus is truth, and the Bible is truth. But, you know, the bottom line, and I want to get to this right now, is so many of these translations are New Age versions. They're fluid Bibles that have really lined up with the modernistic, really anti-Christ thinking today. And it's like water. You know, it takes the form of anything you put into it. And so they're developing the New Age Bible that can be used for all religions, even non-Christian religions. And so it can mean anything that you want to, these new translations of the Bible. And so they've been slowly changing the Bible to line up with the one world movement, the New World Order. Now, which Bible is right? You know, which ones are corrupt? Well, let me say this, that many translations were made by one person. All right, let me ask you this. Is it possible for one person to make mistakes, even if he's honest, to make mistakes? Well, I think all of us know one can make a mistake on translation. Also, is it possible that one person making a translation could taint that translation with his own personal belief? Well, I think we know, you know, humanity, and that they can be tainted. Also, there are other denominations that have commissioned certain translations that will line up with their own doctrine. For example, in the Douay version, which is the Catholic translation, and the Pope says, you know, we need to go back to the Ten Commandments. But in the Catholic version, the Douay version, it does not have in there, thou shalt not make before me any graven image. And so they've changed this to line up because they have graven images all throughout their church. And so this is just one thing. But so let me say this, that there is a translation that has been objectively translated, and that is the King James. I really studied this. I've wanted to get down to the bottom, you know, for my own benefit. But the King James was translated objectively. The King of England, King James, he commissioned 47 translators who were the top linguists in the world at that time, and they were also Christians. They believed in the divinity of Christ, and they believed in the inspiration of the Bible as the Word of God. He commissioned these 47 translators to be involved in translating from the original text. And so they were divided into six companies. And so each person had certain portions of the scriptures to translate. When they would finish, they would pass it around within the group, and then they would turn it up to others of the other group, and they would go over it. These were the best experts in the world, and also then two of the most brilliant men went over the final thing to make sure that it was not being translated inaccurately. So this was not subjective translation, it was objective. And so now what I would like to do is I would like to compare the King James translation, some scriptures, with some other translations, like the NIV and the NASB and the Message. Look in comparing the translations of the Bible. And I believe this is the foundation, really, of the breakdown of Christianity. In Romans 1:20, in King James, it talks about the eternal power in Godhood. All right? In that same scripture, in the Romans 1:20, in the NIV and the NASB, they change Godhead. Instead of using that, they say divine nature. So by changing Godhead to divine nature, this does away with the Trinity. Also in Colossians 1:14, in the King James, it says, whom we have redemption through his blood. All right, this is a very important point now. Now, in the NIV, in the NASB, in the Message, it says, in whom we have redemption, but the blood is deleted. It's not even in there. And we know the scripture says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, but it's, the blood is left out of the NIV and the NASB. Also, in 1 Corinthians 8:4, it says that concerning eating of things that are sacrificed to idols, in the King James, it says, we know that an idol is nothing in the world. In other words, the idol has no power. But in the NASB, in the same scripture, 1 Corinthians 8:4, it says there is no such thing as an idol. So it even denies the existence of idols, and yet we know the Apostle Paul, you know, himself, they came and they destroyed the idols. He spoke so much against idolatry. In the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make before me any graven image. And yet here in the NSB, NASB, it says there's no such thing as an idol. In Luke 4, verse 5 in the King James, where Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shall you serve. But in the NIV, on Luke 4, 5, they changed that scripture, and it omits, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve. Totally changed the scripture. Also in Luke 4, verse 4, Jesus said, it is written, talking to Satan, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. In the NIV, in the NASB, in Luke 4:4, they omit by every word of God. It's just not in there. And that is the whole essence, the main essence of the scripture. Here is a very significant one, Dr. Stan, in Daniel 3:25 in the King James, speaking about the three Hebrew children, said, I see four men walking in the fire, and the fourth one is like the Son of God. But in the NIV and the NASB, Daniel 3:25, instead of saying the fourth man is like the Son of God, it says the fourth man was like a son of the gods. A son of the gods, not the Son of God. I just cannot believe that that's just coincidence that they changed it like that. That is totally pagan, speaking about the gods instead of the Son of God. In John 9:35, it calls Jesus the Son of God. But the NIV, the NASB, in that same scripture says he's the Son of Man, not the Son of God. One of the main significant things and the changing of the Bible. I'm talking about how the Bible has been changed. The corruption of Christianity, the takeover from the inside, is the landmark scripture in John 3:16 in the King James. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. All right? Now, the NIV, the Message, and others on John 3:16, instead of saying God gave his only begotten son, they say God gave his one and only son. Well, you say, well, what's the difference of one and only son and the only begotten son of God? First of all, we know that's not an accurate statement, because when you're born again, now we become sons of God. But this is not my main issue there. When you talk about, the scripture talks about the only begotten son of God, this is referring to Jesus' virgin birth, being born of a virgin, and that God was his father. And so this takes away his deity when you remove the only begotten son of God. Also, John 3:18, it says God's one and only son instead of the only begotten son of God, like the King James says. In Matthew 1:23, in the King James, it says, behold, a virgin shall be with child. But in that same scripture, Matthew 1:23, the NIV, instead of saying a virgin will be with child, it says the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. All right? So this now comes back to the virgin worship, really, of the Catholics and also other religions, Ashtaroth and others in the other pagan religions. So instead of a virgin, they call it the virgin. In 1 Timothy 3:16, and this is one of the landmark scriptures to know if your Bible, your translation is really based on the accurate manuscript, original manuscript. For it refers to Jesus in 1 Timothy 3:16, it says that he was God manifest in the flesh. But in the NIV, it leaves out that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. So there is a pattern here. They left out he was the only begotten Son of God, and also the NASB and the Message, they left out he was God manifest in the flesh. So they delete his divinity, remove his divinity. This is foundational. And so I have found today that many, even inside Christianity, they look at Jesus, you know, as just actually another prophet, which is lining up with the same way that the Muslims believe. They believe he's just a prophet, but he wasn't the Son of God. He wasn't God. But the Bible says he was in the world, and the world was made by him. And it said that he was God. Jesus was God in the flesh. And so in Christianity today, the very divinity of Christ has been removed and put him down into a secondary state. Another scripture in the King James is Romans 8:1. It says, there is now condemnation, no condemnation, to those that are in Christ who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So in the NIV in Romans 8, it just says there is no condemnation to those that walk in Christ Jesus, and it even deletes, totally deletes, who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so in this, you know, it removes the importance of keeping God's commandments of godliness, walking in godliness. Someone says, well, what about the, and I could go on and on, but, you know, in fact, in Revelation 22, verse 18 to 19, it openly says, if anybody adds to or takes away from this book, their name will be taken out of the book of life. And so this is exactly what these translations have done. They have added to the word of God. They've deleted the word of God. And so it is no longer the word of God. Well, some people have asked me, well, what about the New King James Version? And I'm talking about the war against the Bible. Well, the New King James Version And I'm not for just holding strong that you have to say thee and thou. But don't tell me you can't understand that. I've been reading the King James since I was a boy. And you know that thee and thou, it means you. I mean, it doesn't take a brain surgeon. A child knows that. But the New King James Version, it omits the word repent 44 times. It omits the word God 51 times. It omits the word Lord 66 times. It omits the word heaven 50 times. It omits the word hell 22 times. The New King James Version omits the word damnation entirely. It omits the word devils entirely. It omits the word Jehovah entirely and omits the word New Testament entirely. And this is changing the Word of God. And you can go to my website, laurendavis.com, L-O-R-E-N, davis.com. And there's an article that I've written on New Age translation. And it goes in deeper depth than even what I've talked to about tonight. But this is a war on the Bible from inside, changing the Bible. And this has brought massive confusion, Dr. Stan.
And I think it was intended to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there in the audience, you really need to get a copy of this tape and listen to it a number of times. Understand Christianity, God, is under attack today, not from without, that's very, very obvious, but from within. And all of these translations of the Bible, oh my goodness, we just want to be more accurate. No, they want to raise questions in your mind. They ought to want to undermine your faith. And this is why, certainly, Lauren Davis is such a wonderful asset we have here at Radio Liberty, and we love having him on. Once again, Lauren, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, get your information once again.
Yes, my website is laurendavis.com, L-O-R-E-N, davis.com, and I've got many articles. Like I said, one of them is New Age Translations, what we're talking about. I have an ebook that is available on there called The Paganization of Christianity, and you can also get The Paganization of Christianity for your Kindle on Amazon.com. Also, there's our book called Dangerous Africa, telling our 20 years in Africa. And if the Lord puts it on your heart to support us, you can look at our website. We're preaching sometimes to hundreds of thousands of people in one service, and many, many are coming to the Lord. But I'm not compromising the Bible. I'm preaching Jesus and the truth. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to him.
And if we get
back to preaching the truth, our nation will change.
We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Lauren, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. I'll let you wrap it up, and then we'll let you get to sleep, and we'll be talking to you later. But you got 3 minutes to wrap it up.
All right. You know, one of the biggest problems today is mixing the Bible with tradition and other religions. And Muhammad, the founder of Islam, he used really the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. He said that's the Word of God. He said Psalms was and the Gospels. But he said the parts of the Bible were not true, other parts are true, and then he added his other revelations he got from the angel, just like ministers today said, the angel told me this and that. Also, you see, Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon Church, did the exact same thing. They talk about using the King James Version, but then they use the Book of Mormon, and they add it like it is the Word of God. For in Revelation 22:18-19 says you're not to add to or take from the Word of God. And so, actually, Islam and Mormonism, you know, that is just a basic, you know, spinoff of Christianity itself. But there are so many spinoffs. We need to return to the Bible and the King James Bible, which was objectively translated. And we need to not take our denomination as the final authority, not take our preacher or pastor as the final authority. Learn to think for yourself. Learn to read the Bible for yourself and draw the judgment and read it in context. And you will not be confused. God will give you enlightenment in your heart, not of a New Age enlightenment, but the light of the truth of the Word of God. And he said, thy word hath I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. And you need the Word of God today more than ever with the days that are facing us to come.
And we are really entering some very, very difficult times. Our guest this evening has been Lauren Davis, a frequent guest here on Radio Liberty. When he's back, he's been in Africa for 25, 26 years. He'll be going back again later this year in October. But in between now and then, we want to have him on Radio Liberty on a regular basis. He's certainly been on the front lines of this spiritual battle for the souls of men. Of course, it's being fought over there in Africa today. But at least you don't have certainly as much of the effort to undermine the text of Christianity in Africa as you have here. Oh, you've got the forces over there, but a lot of us, I mean, we're talking about tens of thousands of Africans are coming to a personal relationship with the Lord. We need a great revival in America. If there's any hope for this,
my biggest battle is with others in preachers inside Christianity, with liberal Christianity. They would like to kill me. I'm telling you, other preachers, they would like to destroy me. They don't want the truth of the Bible. They want this new Christianity.
Well, we're not going to. We'll do everything we can to help you, Lauren. Good night. God bless. And we'll be talking to you real soon.
Okay. Thank you. Good night, Dr. Stan.
Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan. And we do hope, of course, you enjoy the conversations we have with Lauren. But Christianity is under attack today. Now, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, let me suggest you get it. You can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927, and it'll tend to put things into a clear focus so that you can actually understand what is taking place today. And then, of course, we do hope many of you will want to get our newsletter and join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And if you do, while you join the Radio Liberty family, you either get the newsletter and either the four best tapes of the month or the four best CDs of the month. And we have some wonderful, wonderful talks. We have to agonize every single month over which programs we're going to have and make available, because most of them are so very, very good. But we try to find the four best for you. And certainly, if you have them, you have our permission to copy them and disseminate them, because we're in this trying to get people to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And we're under attack not so much from without, although we are under attack from without, but from within the Christian church. And some of the biggest contributors to the Christian missions, and some of the biggest Christian contributors to Christian certainly ministries, are from the other side. And they are actively doing everything they can to destroy Christianity from within. And they've changed very effectively the music of the church. Have you noticed how the music has changed? They've changed the message of the church, and the simple message that Lauren puts forward, I believe, is true and accurate. And then they want you to start getting all these different translations. Why? Oh, we want to be accurate. We want to certainly be sure that we have the exact use of every word. No, ladies and gentlemen, they want to destroy your faith. They want to get you so confused you cannot understand what it's all about. Understand, Christianity is under attack today. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And we're losing that battle because people don't understand. And that's what we do. Is we 5 hours every day, we're here on the radio, and we'll be here as long as God helps us and keeps us going. If you're out there in a position to help and like to join the Radio Liberty family, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And those people who do help us and support us, we really do deeply and sincerely appreciate all your gifts and your help for us. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for our staff, for my family, because, of course, without my wife and my son, we just could not continue doing what we're doing. We've got three other people work for us part-time, and they do a wonderful, wonderful job. And we actually are able to teach people and reach people all over the world through certainly the programs that we do. As you know, we do 5 hours of talk radio a day. Then we have a weekend program that reaches about 20 stations. It's all expensive, but it certainly is reaching people and hopefully is making people aware of the true nature of the spiritual battle. We do know that many of our listeners have come to know and have a personal relationship with our Lord. And that's what it's really all about, is bringing people into a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, certainly we hope and want to suggest you get our book, Brotherhood of Darkness, that you certainly get our talk on population control, the secret agenda, on Agenda 21, the covert plan, Agenda 21, the covert plan. And then, of course, they're all available, calling us at 1-800-544-8927. Then we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, because there's no hope it is not revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, and for our staff. And so until Monday, may the Lord be with you.
Let us all be grateful.
In the studio with me. Thank you, Josh, for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You're welcome anytime. Anytime. But, well, we get to have him like maybe once a week, and this is our once a week.